thanks for listening to this sermon from Redemption Church. Redemption exists to help you wake up to a deep, meaningful life in Christ. For more information, please visit redemptionedmond.com.
Can be seated.
Amen. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
My name is Tate, and I get to serve here as the minister of students. And right off the bat, a shameless self-plug. If you are a 6th grade through 12th grader, and you want to go deeper in your faith this year, or you just have big questions about life, and you want a place to ask those questions, we're kicking off our spring semester on January 7th at 6:15 in this room, and then we'll be in this room at 6:15 every Wednesday following that. And so join us. This place is for you. If you know a 6th through 12th grader, tell them about it. And then today is PJ Sunday. So that means a couple things. One of the things that it means is we have some kids in here. So we have 4-year-olds and up joining us this morning. And what I want to do right off the bat is just create space for us to pray for the kids in the room. So if you have a kid that's usually in children's ministry on a Sunday morning, would you get to a place where you can just like put your hand on them? And then we're going to pray out loud together. I'll just give us a moment of silence where you can pray out loud for your kid. If you are not a parent of young children, join me in praying for them. Just pray out loud in your seat for the kids in this room, that God would open their eyes to the gospel, that he'd plant seeds in their heart that would bear fruit later on in life. And so let's just have a moment. Let's all bow our heads, and I'll just give us about a minute of silence for us to pray out loud for the kids in this room. Father God, we are so grateful for the blessing that children are. God, I pray that you would be working in the hearts of the children in this room today, that they would enjoy being in big church, that they would look forward to getting to worship with their parents in the next couple years, and God, that you would draw them to yourself and transform their lives through the power of the gospel. And we pray these things in your name and for your glory. Amen. All right, we're going to be in Psalm 37 this morning. If you want to start turning to there in your Bible, if you have a Bible, we'll also have it on the screen behind me. And as you turn there, I have a question for you. Have you ever gone to the grocery store while you're just like so hungry? Like you haven't eaten all day, you get off work, you go to the grocery store, and man, everything looks so good. Like you're walking through the aisles and you just want to grab everything. What I do is I buy more junk food. I buy more food than I need. I buy food that's going to go bad before I have time to prepare it. And it's all because I'm starting out from a place of hunger. Like you're not thinking clearly when you're hungry. You're not you when you're hungry. So you should eat a Snickers. I think King Solomon said that. Me and my wife had a bet on whether people would laugh at that. And so I don't know who won. But I bring this up because I think something similar can happen this week every year. Like there's 3 days left in 2025, and that's just kind of crazy to say out loud. This year has felt like it's flown by, and we're well into New Year's resolution season. And so we're thinking about the places that we want to change in our lives, the things we want to add to our lives. And I think a lot of us start from this place of hunger, of discontentment with our lives. We feel like we need to change, and this pushes us to try to make huge changes in our workout routine or our financial goals, that we're going to put this much in savings and this much invested this year, or especially for people in this room in our spiritual lives. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning is changing in our spiritual lives. But we tend to be unrealistic about what we're actually capable of changing. Like we think the stresses and things of normal life that got us down last year and the year before that aren't going to be a factor at all this year. And then what happens? We get a couple weeks in, and what started out as a new and welcome, exciting change begins to feel like a chore, and then we give up altogether. And this problem is so bad and widespread that the second Friday in January has become known as National Quitters Day. That most people who had New Year's resolutions for that year have given up less than 2 weeks into the new year. So how do we change? That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. How do we make lasting changes in our spiritual lives? And a little spoiler alert, my answer to this, the solution to our problem, is not going to be just read your Bible and pray more. Like, those are good things, but I think we hear that enough. What I want us to see is a little bit deeper than that. So if you're a note taker, I want you to write this bold at the top of your page. If this is all you hear from me this morning, that's okay. God does not need me to do more things for him this year. God doesn't need you to do more things for him this year. That's not what the Christian life is all about. So we're going to start digging into this passage. We're going to spend some time first diagnosing the problem. Like, when you go to a doctor's office, they're taking your temperature and your blood oxygen level and your heart rate. They're trying to figure out what's wrong with you before they can actually give you the cure. So we're going to do that. We're going to diagnose the problem by looking at the first two verses of Psalm 37. You can read these with me. It says, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the green grass and wither like the green herb." So to fret about something means to burn about in this context, to be anxious or worry. And what we can worry about is evildoers. And it tells us in the next verse that we can worry because evil people have more things than we do. We become envious of them. We look around, we see people that are more successful than we are. They got better Christmas gifts than we did. And this causes us to worry about something. And what does this look like? First, we can start by asking questions like, how is it fair that that person who's not even nice to people has nicer things than I do? Like, they don't love their Lord, their God, with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They definitely don't love their neighbor, but they're doing pretty good in life. They have a lot of things. How is that fair? And then we can look up to God and ask, if God was really good, wouldn't he reward my faithfulness? If God was really just, wouldn't he punish that person for being wicked? And the spiral continues on until, honestly, we just feel like God really doesn't care about us. Like, if God was for me, I wouldn't feel like my life is so unfair all the time. And the solution to this problem that we see in verse 2 is to lengthen our patience. Like, they will soon fade like the grass. God is God. We are humans. God doesn't need to do anything on our timeline. He doesn't need to send judgment on somebody because we say so. God will judge all wickedness and evil on earth, but it's not going to be on our timeline. And what I really want us to see in these verses is our problem. I want to diagnose a disease that we all have, and that disease is comparison. So point one is this: comparison destroys delight. This problem, the worry and anxiety that we feel because wicked people can have more things than us, starts with us first paying attention to the things that wicked people have, and then comparing our lives to them. And this starts a spiral that leads us to feeling like God is not for us, like God doesn't care about us. And friends, how are we supposed to worship a God, to delight in a God, to have faith in a God that we're not sure cares about us? And this isn't just true with comparison to wicked people, but comparison to anybody. Like, as long as you are comparing yourself to other people, you are robbing yourself of the ability to delight in God, because deep down you feel like you should have all the things that this other person has. Your life should be just as successful as theirs. And friends, I think comparison is the real reason we feel like we need to make monumental changes in our habits every new year. We look around, we see our coworkers or our classmates, and suddenly we can feel like we are behind, like we should have more money than we do right now. We should go on more vacations like that person. We should be in better physical shape than we are. So instead of doing the work to grow in these areas, which a lot of times is really slow, we want to try to make huge changes, go from 0 to 100. And we do this spiritually too. Like, we compare ourselves to others spiritually. You can look next to you and see the person that has their Bible all highlighted and marked up, and that's a good thing. But you compare yourself to them, and you think, I should have a Bible that looks like that. And so you start a Bible in a year reading plan, and that starts out good. Genesis is exciting. Exodus is exciting. And you get to Exodus 20 and something changes, where it shifts from like exciting narratives about like all these people to lists of rules, the law. and it's not quite as fun to read about, and you fall behind in your reading plan, and then time goes by and you get more and more behind, and now every time you pick up your Bible, you're just reminded about how far behind you are, and you actually spent less time in Scripture that year than you would have if you weren't on that reading plan. If that sounds really specific, it's because I've done that. Like this is my experience. And I know that when we start from a place of comparison to others, like it only leads to like really short-lived change, but it destroys our ability to delight in God. Comparison destroys delight. That's the diagnosis. We choose resolutions and goals from a place of comparison to others. So now we've taken our temperature, we've ran the test, we know what's wrong with us. I want us to look at the cure now. And so for that, we're going to look at the next two verses. Psalm 37, verses 3 and 4 say, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." So if comparison destroys delight, that's point one. What I want us to see next is delight changes desires. Delight changes desires. That's our second point, and I want you to see what I mean by this. So I'm going to create a hypothetical situation. I have no one person in mind, but you might resonate with this, or you might know somebody who would resonate with this. So imagine someone who would consider themselves a Christian. Like they go to church, they've gone to church their whole life. Church is a big part of their life. They enjoy learning about God. They have a lot of books. They have study Bibles. They listen to podcasts about the Bible. But they still get really angry when they're at home. Or they've just been just failing in their battle with lust lately. Like that sin is just taking over their life. Or maybe they're a gossip. Like they get around their friends at work or at school and all they talk about is, "Oh, did you hear what this person did? Or I heard this about him," but they know a lot about God. Like they have a lot of knowledge about Jesus in their head, but their life isn't changed that much. Like they don't look that different than a non-Christian. And Jonathan Edwards was an early American pastor and theologian who cared a lot about people's hearts. Like not just what they'd say they believed, but their heart. And he has a quote that says, "True religion in great part consists in holy affections." True religion in great part consists in holy affections. Our affections are the deepest desires of our heart. Like we all act, we all do things, but the thing behind the action is a motive or affection. So our affections are what we love, they're what we long for, what we get excited about. And that person who says they're a Christian but lives an unchanged life has a problem with their affections. And Edwards would say Christianity is not just about knowing things about God. It's not about having knowledge in your head about Jesus or the gospel, but it's about having changed affections, having holy affections, loving what God loves. Having changed affections, that's what causes change in our lives. And if you've struggled with not following through on goals and resolutions time and time again, you also have a problem with your affections. Like you have the wrong motives, you love the wrong things, and you're trying to change your behavior without addressing that heart problem. So how do we change our hearts? How do we change our affections? And verse 4 is sort of a map for this. It says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." This is the cure. This is the solution. This is how we're going to change in meaningful ways this year. God doesn't need you to do more stuff for him. Like, that's not what he's after. God wants your delight. Delighting in the Lord is how we change our affections, our desires, and make meaningful changes in our actions. Delight changes desires. What does this look like? What if instead of thinking about what we don't have in comparison to others and getting mad at God, we started to remind ourselves of the things we do have, and we were grateful? Ephesians 1 says, "You have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Every spiritual blessing. You are rich. If you're a believer in this room, you are rich. And you might say, "Well, I actually want to be rich." Like, you are. Like, you have so much more than all the money, gold, houses, cars, things of this world. Those are all fleeting. Those are fading like the green grass. But this treasure chest of spiritual riches you have, that's real. Like, that is more real than anything in this world. 3 years ago, the company I was working for gave me a Blackstone grill. Does anybody know what a Blackstone grill is? I see some dads nodding. Yeah, they're awesome. They're like flat top propane. I had like the four burner one with the lid. It's like the nice one. And do you want to know where that is, that grill that I got 3 years ago? It's in a box on my back porch. Like, I haven't unwrapped it yet. And am I enjoying that gift? It's mine, but am I enjoying it? No, I'm not enjoying that grill. And I think there's a lot of people whose relationship with Jesus is a lot like my relationship with that grill. Like, you've accepted that free gift of grace. You have not yet unwrapped it. And you aren't enjoying what you already have. And I know I said my application was not going to just pray and read your Bible more. But friends, if you haven't read passages on the blessings we have in Christ, like Romans 8 or Ephesians 1, you're not enjoying the gift that you already have. Like, you have so much, but you don't realize it yet. So maybe you have the gift, but you're not enjoying it yet, and that's why you're not delighting in God. Maybe that's not you. Maybe you haven't received the gift at all. Like, maybe you're in this room and you know you have yet to place your faith in Christ for salvation, and here's the offer for you. Jesus was fully God and fully man, and he willingly died to take the punishment of your sin and then was raised back to life, and that same power that raised him back to life is at work today, and all you have to do is just ask him for it. Just go to God and confess that you are a sinner and that you want that gift. You can't unwrap what is not yours, so take this gift first and then begin to enjoy it. And kids, we have kids in this room. If you've heard the stories about Jesus your whole life, and it's been really exciting, you've loved learning about it, but you don't really know what it means to, like, have this gift of salvation, like, you're interested in that, talk to your parents about it right after service. She's like, Mom, Dad, I want to talk about the gospel. And I promise you, they are waiting for this conversation. Like, I have a 2-month-old baby, and we are praying that she would have this conversation with us, that she would come to us and say, Mom, Dad, I'm interested in this gift of salvation. I want to hear more about the gospel. And as we step into this new year, remind yourself of the riches you have in Christ. Like, this is how we delight in the Lord, and then that delight, like, seeps into our heart and then starts changing our desires, which changes our actions. We start to love what God loves. And if we don't start with delight, you're starting out from a place of hunger, of emptiness. And you don't think clearly when you're hungry. You're not you when you're hungry. You have everything you need already through the gospel. It's already yours. How is that going to change the way you talk to God in this new year? Like, not from a place of neediness, not from a fear of punishment, but as your good father. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He wants to spend time with you. This is what it looks like to delight in the Lord. And I'd made a whole list of ways that we can delight in the Lord in the new year, but I feel like that completely misses the point of what I'm trying to say, which is God doesn't need you to do more things for him this year. So I want you to know that he wants your delight. There are hard parts for the parts of that in the Christian life, but this morning I want us to see that God loves us so much. And let's just sit in that love for a moment. Let's enjoy his love more. And then if you want to start a Bible reading plan, or if you want to start a daily devotional or a prayer journal this year, do that. Like, those are all wise things. I commend you to do those things, but don't start with the things. Start with delighting in God. Enjoy God's love, not just the things. Let me pray for us. Father, God, we just confess that we've loved the wrong things, that the desires of our heart are so just mixed up at times, and we want to desire you more. So would you help us? God, would you change our desires to be what you desire? Would we begin to love the things that you love? God, if there's somebody in this room who doesn't know you, who hasn't accepted this gift yet, would you just give them the courage to talk to somebody? Father, would you help us to enjoy the things we have, to unwrap the gift that you've given us, to remind ourselves of the blessings that we have in Christ as we step into this new year. That we wouldn't just strive to make big changes to keep up with other people, but we would focus on your love for us. That would be the starting point. God, help us to change. Help us to become more like you. I pray these things in your name and for your glory. Amen.